Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh. This is Roop Kaur and my name is Dhiraj Kaur, and I'd like to say that Akal Purakh has blessed us with a chance to have all your darshan. Before we start, I'd like to just say that this is our first time presenting in front of such a large audience, so we're no professionals, so please bear with us. The topic that we are going to talk about is, why should Sikhi matter to you? In order to understand why Sikhi matters, we need to know what Sikhi is and how it helps us in our daily lives. So before we start, I'd like to ask the Sangha if anyone can tell us, what do you think your purpose of life is? Anyone?
What are you guys here for?
To be successful.
Pardon?
To be successful.
To be successful, okay. Anyone else?
Successful in what? In your career, or?
To try and reach God.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Anyone else?
To know who we really are.
That's good enough. Do we have any Bibbiyan? Are the Bibbiyan shy here? Any Bibbiyan? Okay. Well, Guruji tells us what our purpose of life is in the ninth shabd of Sri Dada Sahib. Pai prapat manak dil hariya. If we could all get together and just say this body would be great. Theek hai ji? Okay.
Pai prapat manak dil hariya. Gobind milan ki e teri bariya. अवर काज तेरा किते ना कार मिल साधंगत
जपज केवल नाम
सरंजाम लंग पव जल तरन कै जन्म बिरथा जात रंग माया कै जप तप संजम
धर्म सेवा साधना
कहो नानक हम नीच करम्मा शरण परे की राखो शर्मा.
As we can see, Guruji is telling us that our point of life is to naam jap and meet Vaheguru. Now Roop Kaur will talk about the roots of Sikh history.
In order to start anything, logically we start in the beginning. So we decided to start by in our beginning, which was when Guru Nanak Dev Ji came into this world. We focused on the question, why did Guru Nanak Dev Ji come to this world? What was the purpose? Before I go into that, I want to discuss what kind of world this was before Guru Nanak Dev Ji came. It was full of corruption, greed, hypocrisy. People didn't know what they were doing. It was total darkness. It was total chaos. There was no spirituality. Everyone was just following blind rituals, and no one really knew what they were doing. Like the pankti on the screen demonstrates, Baj Guru Andher Hai Kha Kha Marde Bao Vid Loa. That's from Gurdas Ji's Var. And when Guru Nanak Dev Ji came, Bhai Gurdas Ji goes on to say, Sadguru Nanak Pargatya Miti Tond Jag Chanan Hoa. He cleared up this mist, this spiritual darkness, and he showed us the light. Through his mandate of Naam, he went to all the nine continents of the world, and he gave us a hand out of this drowning world. And
Guru Nanak Dev Ji's mission was carried on throughout 10 gurus up until Dashmesh Pita Ji, Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji. Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji has made Sikhi self-governed in the sense that we don't go to a sant or we don't go to a baba to get naam. We have to go to Panch Pyare in order to get naam. He also established the Sri Granth Sahib Ji eternally forever on the throne of guruship. The Shabd... The shabd that's shown here is Ham ekaj jagat mo aaye taram het gurdev pathaye. As we can see that this Guru Gobind Singh Ji is clearly stating his purpose of life. His purpose of life coming here is to give us naam and save us from maya.
The best way to think of this life is as a game. We're trapped in the cycle of 8.4 million lives, and our aim, or to win the game, is to escape this cycle and merge with Akal Purakh. We also have the karma philosophy, or the karma philosophy, where whatever we do, whatever action we take in this life affects us in this life, but also in our next life. The panktiyan you see on the screen, antkal jo lakshmi simra aisi chinta main je mara sarv jon val val autra, which means if you're thinking of wealth when you die, you're going to come back as a snake. Or antkal jo istri simra aisi chinta main je mara beshwa jon val val autra. So if you're thinking of women, or if you're a girl and you're thinking of men when you die, you'll come back as a prostitute. Barney clearly states that we do have to pay for our actions, and we have to come back in the 8.4 million lives. We've been many things before we got this human life. We've been like the diagram on the screen demonstrates, ke janm pe kit patanga, ke janm gajmin kuranga, ke janm haver brik joyo, ke janm pankhi sarp hoyo. So we've been every single life form before we got this dual life form. This is the highest life form that we have, and it's the only life form where we can fulfill the purpose that the Rajkar discussed in the beginning of the presentation. Through Sadhguru, Guru Granth Sahib Ji, he's the only entity that can help us fulfill this purpose of life. And it's only when we accept his teachings, their teachings, that by Amrit Shaking and getting Naam and keeping Rat, that we can win this game. So we also wanted to discuss what happens if we don't try to win this game, if we don't get into the Sharanam Satguruji. And this is where Jamduts, or the messengers of death, and Durga comes in. As the pankti on the screen says, Jo jam aaye kes kya patka ta din kichna basahenga. When we don't do bhakti and we don't follow Guruji's teachings, we're punished for it in the next world, and we're judged for every single deed that we do in Durga. But Barney also gives us a way out of this punishment. And the next pankti is, Kya Kabir Suno Re Santo Saad Sangat Tar Jahenga. So when we come into the Sharan of Guruji and we join Sangat, that's the way to win this game, to get out of the 84 lakh joon and to merge with Vaheguru by doing bhakti and merging with Vaheguru. So in the next slide, we just wanted to summarize what I just said. So going back to the shabd that we covered, Pe prapat manukh de huriya, gobind milan kiye teri bariya, avar kaj tera kitana kaam, mil saad sangat paj keval naam. So nothing else is going to come into use for us except for naam. So basically what we have to do is go to Satguru Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji through the Panj Pyare, get Amrit and get Naam Didat, which is the most important thing. By jumping this Naam that we get from Guruji, we can merge with Vaheguru and go to Sachkhand, which is where Vaheguru is. And that's the only way to win this game. So how we relate this to the original question, which was, why should Sikhi matter to you? This is the biggest reason why Sikhi should matter to you, because it's the only way that you can win this game, because this world is basically an illusion. And the only way to win this illusion is through Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji, which is why we think Sikhi should matter to you. Apart from this spiritual benefit, we also found that Sikhi should matter to you in basic everyday life as well. And we grouped these benefits into four basic groups: spiritual benefits, lifestyle, benefits of Rat, and moral values. And the Rajkar will talk about the spiritual benefits first of all.
Some spiritual benefits a Sikh gets from Sikhi is it allows someone to develop a relationship with the real one power, which is Vaheguru. And this relationship can only be built through Naam and Bani. No other religion has the Naam and Bani, the Naam that Guru Sahib has given us. So Naam is the only way to get to Vaheguru. Sikhi also frees us from worries of the world, such as Maya. Sikhi allows us not to be like focusing on money, to be greedy for wealth. It also allows us to have darshan of Vaheguru. That's the main purpose of our life. Sikhi also plays a role in our lifestyle. Here we've compared life before Sikhi and after Sikhi. Before, people dressed to fit into society by buying expensive clothes to have the up-to-date, latest clothing, to be into the latest fashion. I'll give my experience. When I used to wear pants to school, I used to care about society. I used to care what people thought. I didn't want to wear bana because I'd be like, people would think, what is she wearing? She's different. I'd be like the outcast. But then once I went to school, I wore jola. I got the best compliment in my whole life. A lady came up to me and she's like, what are you wearing? I explained it to her. I'm like, this is my religious attire. Instead of her looking down at me, she goes, you look like a princess. After that, that motivated me to wear bana. Ever since that day, I started wearing a bana and have had those particular kind of comments. Instead of caring about what people thought, I started caring about what Guruji thought. I thought to myself, well, who cares about society? Society isn't going to benefit me in any way, but Guruji will. Whose kushi do I want? We're only here for Guruji's kushi, right?
The second point we focused on was jewelry and makeup. I remember that when I wasn't into Sikhi and I wasn't Amrit Shak, this used to be a huge deal to me. My mother didn't allow me to wear makeup or jewelry because she was into Sikhi. And I used to think this was a restriction. I used to be like, what's her problem? Why can't I just do this? Everyone else is doing it. And the reason why I wanted to do it is because every other girl where I went to used to wear makeup. And it was this perception that I had in my mind that I would not be accepted by society if I didn't do it myself. But after getting into Sangat with Guruji's Kirpa, I realized that it's actually the exact opposite. It's not a restriction not to wear makeup. It's actually a restriction to wear makeup. Why do we have to wear pieces of metal around our necks or around our wrists or paint our faces different colors just to fit into society? How will this ever benefit me? And will it really help me in the bigger picture? And will it really help me achieve my goal or the purpose of life?
Before I do movies, I'd like to ask, can someone please tell me any latest rap stars and their latest hits? Any movie actors on the latest movies? Come on, you guys all watch TV here, probably. Pardon? Superman. Any other ones? Any latest movie that just came out and is a big hit right now? Come on, what's wrong with everyone sleeping today? Okay, King Kong. And can anyone tell me now any vars from Bhai Gurdas Ji? Any vars from Bhai Gurdas Ji's Bani? Any var? Okay, so as we can see that we know more about movies and society than we know about Bani and Guruji. As for movies, I myself used to go to movie theaters a long time ago and watch movies at home, rent one movie per week, and sit there watching it. Instead of focusing on my part, when I was doing my part, I'd have the movie playing in my head, what happened, or see a like commercial and be like, oh, I want to watch that next movie that's coming out. I couldn't focus on my part at all. Movies take you away from doing to coming into Sikhi. It just like puts this whole step down for you.
Parties are basically the same thing. I remember even before I was Amrit Shak, my family didn't really go to parties. So I wasn't really exposed to the Punjabi culture or even the popular party culture. But I remember for my cousin's 16th party, this was right before I got Amrishak, we decided to go. And all I saw were people openly drinking there, guys and girls dancing together. And the parents, instead of worrying about like their child or their girl or guy like openly flirting with each other, they were doing the same thing because they were drunk out of their minds and they had no idea what they were doing. And this made me wonder, how can we complain about the society that we're living in today if we ourselves are perpetuating these kind of situations by exposing our kids to this kind of situation, these kind of situations when they're little kids? And you just, these parties are basically, they're not just meaningless, but they're spiritually, they drain you spiritually as well. You can never do part right after a party. And the point of our life is to do bhakti, to merge with Vaiguru. So how will we ever achieve this if we're going to these kind of atmospheres where it's stopping us from doing this? And if you want to see how meaningless this kind of thing is, all you have to do is get a movie of a party, shut off the volume, and just look at how the people look, just like jumping around without the music going on. And you'll realize how senseless it is. And our next point was wealth or greediness for wealth. Basically, what we're talking about is everyone in this world has problems. People, they need money, they suffer from health problems, or there's like, everyone has problems. But once you have sahara of Guruji, once you have sahara of Naam, you will realize that Guruji is always with you, and those problems, it's only through Guruji. Like whenever we have a problem, that's when we do ardas to Guruji. And when you get into Sikhi, you'll feel that sahara of Vaiguru and Guruji. And if you don't have Sikhi, then you will not feel that sahara, I guess, from Guruji. As for rituals, we were just discussing that Sikhi frees us from various rituals, and these are just four examples that we chose. And the first one is the dowry system. When both of us got married, we did not have any gift exchanges. We didn't have to give anything to our in-laws. They never gave anything to us. So it frees you from the whole pressure. The dowry system is responsible for all the girls' suicides, all the abortions of fetuses before they're even born, and wife killing as well. And when you get into Sikhi, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Another thing we never have to worry about is the caste system. Usually people, when they start getting married, they're like, oh, is that guy a Jat or is she a Khatri or whatever? But when you're into Sikhi, you don't look for that. Because when I got married, nothing of that sort was asked. Most the questions that you ask when you're into Sikhi is how much debt the person keeps, how much part they do, and stuff like that. So you're free from that as well. And another thing that we talked about was festivals like Lohri or Rakhri, which they celebrate the males in society, but they do nothing for the females in society. And if you think of all the Sikhi festivals, like even if there's a Gurpurab or all the Sikhi festivals, what we basically do is we either do Kirtan, Akhand Paath, Sahib, or Saj Paath, or whatever, however we choose to celebrate a Sikh festival, they're equal for both men and women. So women get equality in Sikhi. And the veil is another example of the same theme. Sikhi is the only religion where the barna is the same for both females and males. There is no other religion which has the same thing. So a Sikh woman can openly wear the same thing and still, like, as part of the religion, she can wear the same thing as the male. And it's only Guruji that gave his daughters that haq. So the women have to have the same rights, but they also have to have the same responsibilities as well.
Okay, we're going to take a look at that. This is pretty much things that a Sikh benefits from. Panch Kakars. Well, Kashara keeps us from having any dirty thoughts and from committing any sins. When we look at the Kara, it reminds us also the same thing, pretty much, do not commit any sins, just do right. The Kripan is used for self-defense and discipline. And the Ganga keeps our hair clean. It takes out the dead hair and also conserves energy. The most important one that I wanted to talk about was the Geski. It allows us to think twice before we commit an act. Guruji has tied the star on many pajangans in the past. As an example, Mata Pakkur, he tied the star by himself on her. So there is an importance in the star. It also allows equality of both sexes. If a saint can wear the star, why can't a bibi wear the star? It should be equality. Everything should be equality between both of them. This is like when we look at the Muslim religion, the bibi has to wear the veil, but the guy doesn't have to cover up. There's no equality there. With Sikhi, there is equality. So if a saint has to wear the star, the bibi should also have to wear the star. Another point is the Char Kretta, four cardinal sins. These all have spiritual benefits, and also have health problems, like drugs and drinking. Those have health problems which you later face in your life. Guru Sahib Ji had forbidden us to do drugs, to drink 300 years ago. But now medical science, doctors, scientists have now realized that modern civilization has now realized that drinking and drugs is bad for the health and are recommending people not to do it. Same with our hair. Guru Sahib Ji has told us not to remove our hair. And I believe that in the near future, that modern civilization, doctors will tell us that removing your hair has its negative effects. Also, Guru Sahib Ji has told us that our roms, like our hair, every single body on our hair, not japs nam. The more nam we have, closer we can get to Vaheguru. It is through our hair that helps us to get to Vaheguru. The fourth point just breaks family ties. So the third point is bana. We wear bana to please Akal Purkh and get his happiness. Whose happiness do we want? We don't want any random person's happiness. Who cares what someone else thinks of you? The main person that we should care about is Vaheguruji, and that's pretty much it. This whole world is an illusion, and so are the problems. If we ignore the problems, they'll go away. It allows us to be unique. As Guru Sahib Ji once said, that in a crowd of 125,000, my one Khalsa will be able to be picked out. So that means if there's 125,000 people, that one person that's wearing the star is going to be Guruji's roop. And you can pick him out from so far away. As for the Sarblo Bhavek, there's a famous saying that says, you are what you eat. So pretty much, who prepares your food does affect you. And if you want the sacred person, that's Amritadi. If an Amritadi person prepares the food, they do Bani, they do Naam. That Bani and Naam goes into that food. When you eat it, it helps you spiritually. As for food that's prepared by non-Amritadi will have a negative effect because that person doesn't have that Naam that an Amritadi person has. Without that Naam, if they had they're talking or they're thinking about movies or whatever, that negative effect is going to go into you. And that's going to bring you one step down from being closer to Vaheguru.
This is basically a picture that we found on the internet. The reason we put it into our presentation is because when we look at these bibiyan, they sacrificed their children. Their husbands were already fighting in jungles. And as you can see, the kids were cut up piece by piece. And they were killed in front of their mothers, which is one of the biggest sacrifices a mother can ever make. And they did this for Sikhi. So if they can sacrifice their children for Sikhi, why can't we, the modern Sikhs, sacrifice petty things watching movies or anything, just basically fun stuff, and actually do like the real fun stuff, like doing parts, doing kirtan, gatka, and coming to Sikhi and coming to the Sharanam Guruji. So just to summarize what we're trying to say, Sikhi, the biggest reason why Sikhi should matter to you is because it's the only way you can get out of this illusion of this world. But it also affects everything we do in our everyday lives, because it's not just a religion, it's a lifestyle. And as we've tried to show in our presentation, it makes you a simpler person, and the simpler you live, the happier you are. Because you get out of this whole illusionary world, and you, because this world is an illusion, the problems we face are illusions as well. And that's basically how we want to conclude our presentation. If you had any problems with what we said, you're free to ask questions now. Yeah.
My question is related to the
Yeah.
Although the books are there, we say that the cage is the Hindu Prakar. And the KSP and cage is a big like confusion right now. And if a small boy, a 5-year-old, named a small dastar, not KSP, so he will be considered into Sikhi or not?
It's not up to us to decide who's into Sikhi. What are you talking about? A small dastar? That is a KSP. We don't want to get into the whole debate of whether a keski or a keski is kakar. What we wanted to point out was whether you believe keski is akar or whether you believe kes is akar, the star should be worn by both bibiyan and men. If you want if both sexes want total rights, they should have total responsibilities as well. So it doesn't, like right now our concern is not whether you believe keski or kesk as kakad, it's that you should wear a keski or a small dastar.
What I mean to say, if other religion like Hindu or Muslim, somebody asks us, what are your 5 kakad? And if they know something about 5 kakad from the internet, or they read about the books and all, how we will explain that and what is right and what is wrong in the kakad?
You can only explain to them what you think is right. So you'll explain to them what you yourself believes in. I can't really tell you what to believe in or what not. You have to do your own research.
But don't forget that all the material online and some books are misguiding. Like, there's so many books that say Guru Nanak Dev Ji was a Hindu first, right? So material is misguiding. So just do your own research and whatever you believe is what you preach.
Any other questions or comments?
Can I go back to the Sri and Lori? Can you explain to people about it? I see so much of it around me, especially the selling in festivals.
Repeat the question she just asked.
Can you repeat the question?
No, you repeat it.
No, I couldn't hear her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain it? Yeah, why
Do
it and why we shouldn't do it?
Well, basically, rakhri is when the sister ties a string around her brother because she asks him for protection. But in Sikhi, a singani is equal to a singh, so she doesn't really need her brother's protection. Well, there's nothing wrong with her brother protecting her, but she doesn't really need that formal gesture of tying a rakhri on her brother. And it could be the other way around. She could be the one protecting her brother as well, because Guru Gobind Singh Ji gave Amrit to both his sons and his daughters, so both are capable of protecting themselves from whatever they need protecting from. Well, I don't really know what you were in your past life. I haven't gotten that far yet. But
it doesn't have a Dios a día.
But that is a possibility. Any other questions or comments?
Handy.
Me personally? Well, I wasn't really. She was born into Sikhi, but I wasn't even close to Sikhi before I got Amrit Shak. Basically, I just woke up one day and I decided to wear the star on my head. And then that night, I got Amrit Shak. No, it was seriously. It was like a split moment situation. So I wasn't. I didn't. But it's better if you prepare for it. But like, it was basically all Guruji's kirpa on me. Like, really instant Guruji's kirpa.
As for the movies, when I do my part and I was watching movies, I realized that I can't focus on my part, so I stopped watching TV. And then as I stopped watching TV, all those thoughts, like thinking about what I just watched or thinking about the next movie that's coming out, I want to go watch it, and those all disappeared. And I could actually concentrate on my body. So having that positive effect, I just stopped.
You can try experimenting it with yourself. You can do, like, for a month, watch movies, watch TV, and then do part. And then for a month or so, do it without watching anything, without any of that, like, noise or whatever in your head. And you'll see the difference.
You're able to focus more.
Yeah. The best guidance in the for a Sikhi in general is Sangat. If you do Sangat, that's like the only protection you have from going like the wrong way. Or it's through Sangat that you'll get up in the morning, because you can't. It's really hard. Like, Sikhi is generally hard to do, to follow. And the best guidance you can get is by joining Sangat, who will motivate you, who will tell you when you're going wrong or when you're going right. So that's the best motivation.
Expand a little more on the word Sangat, because the world is in the UK. Sometimes there are things that are being done over there that are contrary to Buddha.
What I mean by Sangat is perhaps elder Gursikhs who have been following the that, and they know a lot about Sikhi, they know about what Guru Sahib, like, they have more experience. That's what I mean by Sangat. When, like, the people who already have that previous experience, and they know what you're going through, so they can guide you on the path. Oh. We can't really blame that conflict on Guru Sahib's rat. perhaps both parties are to blame for it. Maybe the kids are not handling the situation properly, but the best thing to do in a situation where there are family conflicts is to talk it out with both members, both party members. And I'm guessing that they're not eating from the parents' hands because the parents aren't keeping Falarat. And you can't really blame the two boys for that. But perhaps they're talking back to the parents, which is causing conflicts. Or perhaps they're showing disrespect. So I guess on their part, they should be more understanding of the parents. But the parents can also try to understand their dad as well. So I guess it's both. It's not really rats. It's not Guru Sahib's rat that's creating the problems in the family. It's like it's the family itself and how they're dealing with the situation. Okay, the Amrit, the Prashad at Harmandir Sahib. Well, what can you really call Deg? That's not what we believe is that Deg is only Prashad when it's accepted by Guruji. And would Guruji accept anything? Like if you bring meat into Harmandir Sahib and you do pog to it, would that be Prashad as well?
Firstly, what we need to do is bypass the individual situations because we don't know what's happening in people's houses. We have one perspective. We can comment on the principles and what Sikhi says. I think that's what we, if Ibu Witsi wants to comment on the sub-law issue.
Well,
I'm
not sure
why
I really like that response. I think that's very true. But that doesn't cause any problems. And it's just the way you handle a situation that can result in a positive situation or a negative situation. You mentioned that someone should be humble after taking on the, unite. And I agree with you absolutely. When you deal with people after taking on the, if you are going around thinking, look at me, I'm so good, I don't need to talk to anybody, that's the totally wrong attitude. I'll give an example. This is probably a little bit controversial, but I'll give it anyway. Someone was talking to me, and he said, wow, you're actually talking to me. And I said, yeah. And he goes, there's a saint. And he called himself, Asalu Veki. He said he doesn't talk to non-Amritais. Even if they're kids, and you don't talk to them, but you're talking to them. I said, that's stupid. You don't have love for everybody, and you're not willing to, help anybody out, you're totally off the key. But at the same time, while you're living the key, you can't compromise your principles. I give this example of maybe some of you heard already. When I was in high school, I got invited to my Greek friend's house to do a school project together. We did a project, and after the project was done, I was leaving, and his parents said, it's Easter, and we're breaking the bread together, and we'd like to, invite you to the ceremony, have a place at our table. And it was quite an honor, because, this is a family occasion. And I was thinking to myself, the bread might have eggs. And at that point, I was so, conflicted within myself, should I ask it? If I say I can't eat it, then, they might feel offended. But then I realized if I don't ask and I do end up eating this, I'm going to regret it afterwards. So I asked, and I said, is there eggs? Yeah, there is eggs. And I said, oh, sorry, I can't join you. And she said, oh, really? Why? And I explained it, and she said, oh, I understand, that's fine. I wish Greek kids were as, you know, true to their tradition as you are to yours. So if someone has love for you, if you explain your situation, your, you know, Mezburi, then I'm sure they'll be able to understand. But if someone, you know, feeling threatened or upset just because, you know, you have a principle and you're sticking to it, then I think that person themselves needs to reflect on exactly how much respect they're showing. So, you know, all these situations can be resolved with love. Andhadaris need to show love. And people, you know, that feel, you know, a little bit shunned or whatever you're suggesting, often need to, you know, reflect on themselves, you know, am I also doing the right thing? The final question was about, you know, Dig Harmandasavan. Some people do choose not to eat the Dig Harmandasavan. I personally don't eat the Dig Harmandasavan. Why? I'll give you an example. If anyone's been to Harmandasavan lately, there's a counter where you get the Dig. I'm not suggesting anyone should or shouldn't eat. I'm just giving you my example. And again, I'm being controversial. I hate being controversial. I hate, you know, talking about stuff like this. But okay, I'll do it because you brought it up. Anyone can go and get the Dig, whether they know what Dig is or not. There was a tourist, a Western tourist, and he took the Dig, and he didn't know any better. He tasted it, you know, tastes good. And he gave it, and Sevadas took it. They didn't see him taste it. But, you know, the purity, you know, the cleanliness, the hygiene, is of questionable, you know, standards. So if someone, for their own reasons, chooses not to, you know, eat the Dig, then that's their choice. Live and have live. It doesn't affect us, right? It doesn't affect you if I don't eat the Dig. It doesn't affect me if you do. So, you know, we have our own choices.
That's why. No.
I understand. Maybe what would be better is if we could discuss this afterwards and we just let other people
know. This is why issue. And through Amartya Maharaj, he said, anyone who wants to have my darshan, first of all, second in the there is a paisa vekara gurdwara. He doesn't teach in the other home. So I question, are you giving darshan to someone? Father, you must take. I haven't done the darshan of Durgasar, so I should have taken the set in this other place. Now, same Paisa gave me this much prasad. I said, Paisa was not eating. I can't physically eat this much prasad, it will be wasted. And he said, no, Singh ni khani aur kaun khayega. Singh takhde hota jiya. Mera Paisa have a little bit of that, yourself person. Kada mele khasar dari. This is a fond question.
Okay, that's once again a situation. If you won't eat something, you shouldn't give it to other people. So again, I don't like commenting on individual situations. It just doesn't, you know, serve any purpose. So if you want to discuss something, maybe afterwards.
We don't want to miss the point in what has been explained. The two closer points that came out. The first one you said was respect for the parents. The second one was tolerance and humility. How Sadhguru Singh can abuse if they have to do that, if they want to do that wrong, how they can go about and do it.
Pardon?
How, if they want to, that's the way they want to do it. You know, they want to in Sadhguru and don't believe in that. The positive point out of that is the way the youngsters should react to the parents. To me, it appears that you have brought up two very important points. One is the tolerance, and the other is respect, and how to go about it in a sensible way to live in that place. And the
Any questions? I think sometimes what happens is people expect the modalities to be perfect, and a lot of the time the modalities are developing just as much as the people that are moving towards them. So I think the point that's come out from the statements that have been made is that people, when you take them, you're really starting off, it's a starting point, and not to expect the modalities to be absolutely perfect. Okay, any questions?
I can't hear.
Vani says, Bin Sadhguru Kinana Payo, Bin Sadhguru Kinana Paya. And Sadhguru is Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji, and which is Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji, with Guru Nanak Dev Ji's Jyot right now. So yeah, we believe that you have to go through the path of Sikhi if you want to get into Sachkhand. But for other religions, like Muslim, if there is a Muslim, and a Muslim does not want to go to Sachkhand, a Muslim wants to go to Jannat. And if they follow their religion, then they'll get to Jannat. And if a Hindu follows their religion, they'll get to Swarg. And it's a Sikh gets to Sachkhand if they follow their religion. I believe that they were all Guruji and Guru Nanak Dev Ji Sikhs. And I really... Okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's actually a discussion for tomorrow's lecture.
No, the next day's Thursday's
Thursday's lecture. where they discuss the five karns. But basically, I think Sachkhand, not I think, basically, like Sachkhand is the highest realm. And Jannat and Swarg, they're all like different heavens. And they're in Tarkhand, I believe.
On here, there's the Gurbani line, which said, and the translation here is, the Guru's teachings are the most excellent, all other ways lack the name, the name of the Lord. So, basically what Gusev is saying there is that you need now, okay, in order to progress to Satkan, you can't do it without now. And now really you can only get from Gusev, because Gusev is the Dalai Lama. So in order to get to Satkan, to the ultimate stage, which by releasing the last time on Thursday, you can only do that through Gusev. Is that okay? Good for whoever asked that question? Any other questions?
Just another comment. You mentioned about expectation. Once a person takes 100, that everybody expects him to be perfect. In a way, it is forced to peer pressure, that the expectation of everybody goes up, and it gives the support to the one who has taken 100 to live an upright life.
I just wanted to know about integrating culture and religious beliefs, how that perhaps in this country, for some Sikhs, the religious aspect may have been diluted and become more of a cultural way of life. So there's lots of Sikhs who believe they are Sikhs, but what they're doing is a cultural aspect as opposed to a religious aspect. So how do you integrate that, especially for the generation of Sikhs that are actually born in this country?
By culture, do you mean Punjabi, like the Punjabi culture? Well, what I believe is the Punjabi culture is totally different from the Sikh culture. Sikhi is universal. The Punjabi culture is like basically Punjab with Bhangra and everything. So you can't really incorporate the two cultures together because there's so many clashes in the two cultures. Especially like the modern Punjabi culture. So basically, there's a saying where if you try to put your feet in two boats, you'll fall. So I guess you have to choose one path, like either you want to go this way or that way. And you should dedicate yourself to whichever path you choose to take. Hopefully, like this path. But I don't really think you can incorporate both of them together because there's so many clashes. How so?
If you've been brought up in the Punjabi culture, what you're then finding out as you get older is actually quite different to the Sikh and the Sikh faith. You're changing your attitude and your lifestyle from what you've actually been brought up with. And by the families who actually believe or think that they're actually Sikhs. So you're sort of, you know, you could then
I think one of the biggest problems when someone tries to get into Sikhi is actually dealing with what people think Sikhi is and what you come to realize Sikhi actually is. For example, a lot of our parents think Sikhi is, you know, going to go down on Sundays and maybe keeping your hair, not so much your beard, if you trim some hair. But if you start to live a Sikh sort of lifestyle, I've seen from the experience of some other people around me that parents start to get really nervous. Parents start, family members, friends, they all start to get nervous, you know. They feel threatened. They want you to be a Sikh, but not, you know, a Sikh. So, for example, if you start to get up in the mornings, I give this example to my group. My parents were very concerned. They said, you know, why? You know, this is not natural. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. And then I started wearing, I used to actually have my head uncovered at home. I used to have a jula, but uncovered. They said, you know, your head needs air. You know, how are you going to put air in your head and you're going to get sick? And I had to explain to them, you know, other side of the court a lot of times. But parents get very nervous at that point, and they start to think, you know, you're going overboard. So if you start to walk towards Sikhi, it's important that, you know, you reassure everybody that you're not nuts and that you're doing what you think is right. And you have to actually show people that, you know, it's having a positive influence on your life. If you start treating your parents like garbage after you start, you know, getting more into Sikhi, what are your parents going to think? You know, has Sikhi done any good for you? Probably they'll be turned off of Sikhi as opposed to, you know, encouraged. If your friends notice that, you know, if your acquaintances, a friend knows that you won't even speak to them, that's also not a good thing. They might say, you know, is Sikhi making this person into, you know, an alien? So it's a big gap, but what bridges that gap is those values and principles Sikhi gives you, you know, feeling love and compassion. Compassion is the basis of thought, and having compassion for people, knowing that, you know, they're feeling alienated or they might not know what's going on, and trying to bridge it through this, you know, love and compassion, that's the bridge. There's no easy, you know, bridge that I can tell you just besides those two things.
So that's it, persons? Any questions?
I was going to say, like, someone has an illness or cancer, and to treat that, you need to have chemotherapy, which requires root illusion hair. And as I see, would, like, does Guru forbid you to do that, like, save your life and sacrifice your hair?
You probably don't understand his accent.
No.
I'll is if someone's got cancer and they need to go, or any other sort of life-threatening illness, and they need to remove, the doctor said you need to remove your hair, and you need to shave your chest, or you need to give chemotherapy and hair and all that, kind of stuff. Is that permissible?
From what I understand about chemotherapy, you don't shave your head, or like you don't personally remove it. It just falls out by itself, right? Well, I guess the karats are, they're based on intention. If you purposely remove your hair, even if it's for an operation and you shave it, that's intention. But when you're going through chemotherapy, although you can choose not to do it, but if you do choose to do it, your intention is not to like make your hair fall out on purpose or you won't have hair anymore. Your intention is to try to get better. So I don't think that's a karat. Because karats are all about, am I shaving my hair? Can I go without shaving my hair? Like shaving is a karat, but that's like natural hair, your hair falling out naturally because of, I personally don't think it's a karat. Yeah, if your hair is cut, then you have to go to the parish.
So, of course, for people that have some operations, the question is, if you've taken over and you've undergone an operation, some operations, they actually shave parts of your body which have been operation in order to sort of make the incision and do the operation. I'll look for the NHS on that. Not often. The question is, so once they've shaved their hair and after the operation, hopefully you're better, should you go back to the Bantabiyari in the Amazon dad and ask for forgiveness? And the response was yes, you should. Even if it's life threatening, and you say your life, you should still then go back to the Bantabiyari and say this is what happened, and they will act accordingly as per their rule.
But just to be clear, I mean, the Bantabiyari, when you come down hard at all, you need a slicing operation, some hair removal, evil person. They're just going to give you their blessing. It's understandable. If someone chooses not to have that operation, that's fine too, because if someone does, you go in front of the Bantabiyari, you get their blessings, and that's that. Not really a big deal. If someone's going in front of the bunch, it's actually a privilege as opposed to a punishment. It's sometimes it's someone where you can get blessings, get more chardika. Good question. So most people are either students or working, and that's for full time.
time. How do you balance that with not reaching out and other aspects of the kids?
Well, personally, we're both students as well, and we both go to university. And if you don't go to movies and whatever, you'll see that you have a lot of time on your hands, and you can make stuff like you can make bread or whatever, and or you can just take fruit to school. But it is doable. Like, personally, I've done it. She's done it. There's a lot of university students that don't eat out. So there are ways, like if you can cook at home, you can cook at home, or like just make stuff that you can keep for a long time, basically.
Make
vinegar. Vinegar are good.
Some tricks, the first thing, have vinegar and various other things to help you.
Vinegar
and who
please, the best friend of
the week.
Does anybody else want to share that?
I'm also a student. I'm 29 years old, so a student. I still have 2 years of school that won't get out. But what I do is I cook every day, and I find it frankly therapeutic. I mean, some people say you cook every day, and I enjoy cooking. I mean, my buddy enjoys cooking. Every time I come to Gondal, he always makes something for me, and I personally also really like cooking. I used to have a Gondal roommate, and we used to take a lot of pleasure and pride in making, you know, our daily dinner together. And we used to have a salad and a sabzi, and we used to have something for time. And honestly, people think it's a hassle, but if you make things simpler, you know, don't eat out, it really feels better for you. You know, it's healthier food, it's cheaper, and again, it's a good diversion from just, you know, the regular mundane life of school.
I've seen some really big subway things, so they get the food.
You mentioned that Father Kidney then could be jail emancipated and you got your seats as well, but did they keep their hair?
I believe they did.
And also, there's Sane the barber who's also emancipated.
Pardon?
Sane the barber.
I think all of the punks, all the punks that have their Barney in Guru Granth Sahib Ji, they all took Sharanam Guru Nanak Dev Ji. The barber, okay. See, I don't think he was a barber because I did, if you look in the Mahan Kosh, if you look up that word, it doesn't mean barber. It means people that just did daily duties, or they like cut people's nails, or they did like washing dishes. So it doesn't always mean that. So I don't think he was a barber.
But did they keep their, what can I understand is, did they keep their hair?
I think, yeah, because even when Guru Nanak Dev Ji took Bhai Mardana Ji with him, the first requirement was that Bhai Mardana Ji doesn't cut his hair. So that was a basic requirement of the key, keeping your hair.
We should not have that all the prophets, and even these other 125,000 prophets that Islam believes, they were all his other. Every Mahapurush, you know, every prophet who is from Krishna, you know, Krishna is called Keshav. Keshav means the one with beautiful long hair. Rama, they were all Keshav. Rama is Keshav, Shivji is Keshav. And specifically all the prophets, Jesus Christ is Kesatari. And for Kabir Ji, his Bani mentioned for case, you know, for the Panki now. But all the... some historians believe Baba Preet Ji existed 300 years before the advent of Guru Nanak Dev Ji. But that's just a theory in history. Many historians believe that the Bani of Baba Preet Ji, that is in Guru Nanak Dev Ji, was Preet Sani. Preet Sani was one of the 14th successors of Baba Preet Ji. And when Guru Nanak Dev Ji met him three times,
it is his bani which is in Sugan family. And just as like all the 10 gurus, they use Sami and Nanak. Similarly, the successors of Baba Fridji, they used to use the word Nanak. Because the original Baba Fridji, at that time, the Punjabi was different, much different. As you can see, 300 years ago, Punjabi was so different. But if you look at Pani and Baba Fridji and Nanak Devji, the language used in that in both Pani is exactly the same, very similar. So you can say that the Pani, the language used in Baba Fridji's Pani is 300 years old from Nanak Devji. All the Bhagats, they were contemporaries of Guru Nanak Devji. And this has been proven now scientifically by Gyani Gurdip Singh Ji in his monumental book, Bhagat Bani, Itihas Bhagat Bani, a very big book. And in that, he went village to village and he has dug out information proving that all the Bhagats were contemporaries of Guru Nanak Devji.
I'd also like to opening the question I had, I think this is quite an impact in terms of historical time scale. Even the old sort of scientists, sort of Aristotle, and all these sort of, you know, deep sort of figures, even in Greek mythology, they all have beard, they all have hair. Everyone in the Eastern world, and sort of everywhere have hair. It's quite a new fashion to sort of have hair.
Maybe it's me, I'm not listening to you, but at this point so far, it's important to keep your hair, which I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just that I hear that, but, you know, from my understanding, I believe that it's the reason you do it, it's just as important. Whereas I don't feel I'm hearing that from you, so I'm just hearing that. It's just like, you said yesterday, what you do, the reason you do things is just as important as why you do them. You know, so if you, one thing I say is that, I can't disagree that if you're just keeping your head, you know, just for the reason for doing it, it's not necessarily a productive thing.
I mean, this is the kind of question we need, trying to push you guys. There's obviously two sets of keeping your head, but the question is why, what's the benefit of keeping your head? Is that right? What are the benefits, what are the value of keeping your hair? Is there anything behind it, or is it just keep your hair? No?
this is just my understanding of it, but from the presentation that you guys did about things to keep being important and so on, you made some good points, but you know, I'm not hearing a lot of emphasis on internal improvements, more in terms of, look, do this, do this, and do this. Whereas, I'm not hearing that, I'm hearing that you should keep your hair, yeah? But I suppose that, from my understanding, you should be keeping your hair because you have love for the guru, you're trying to achieve something.
I totally agree with you. The first reason that we should keep, the only reason we need to keep our rat is because Guruji told us to do it. We shouldn't need any other reason to do so. It's just, there are other reasons because Sikhi is such a practical religion, but I agree with you that our first thing is because of our, and the only way we can show our love for Guruji is through keeping his rat. Like, when we show love to our parents, we do it by listening to what they're saying, what they tell us to do. And if we don't listen to Guruji, if Guruji tells us to do this, and we start doing the exact opposite, it's like we're turning our back to Guruji, we're saying, oh, I don't need you. But the truth is that we're totally dependent on Guruji. And the way to show our dependence is through listening to whatever he says. And I totally, I agree with your comment that everything that we do, it's out of our love for Guruji. And I think it's the only way we can show our love, through good vibe and keeping it up and listening to what he's saying.
I totally agree with you. Sometimes it gets ignored. Why do you keep this? We get into the benefits, but, we might say, all kinds of benefits, but why? Why is still different than the benefits? The why is because Gustav said so. And when you're in love, you can even take human examples. When you're in love, the person who you're in love with says do something, says jump. You said, was that high enough? You know, you do it right away. And you don't even think, because you have that trust that that person, you know, there's that love between Gustav and you. And Gustav said something, even if it doesn't make complete sense to me. And his, I think if you reflect about it, it's not senseless. There's sense to it. That's where the benefits come in. But even if something seems senseless, if Gustav has said it, then that's just something that, you know, you trust and you do it. And you do start feeling the benefits. And then you ask, where do these internal qualities come from? And I'm going to give you an answer. It's from not. And I'm not trying to say, well, I am trying to say, it's almost like magic. It is magic. If you jump now and you read good writing, then these qualities are going to be born inside you. I know so many Gosekhs that say, you know, before I got to Sikhi, I was such a jerk. And they feel so much regret for what, you know, how they treated others and how, you know, they dealt with others. And some have gone back and actually apologized, you know, I'm sorry I was this way. Where did these qualities come from? You know, no one talked with this. Gurma, Sikhi, is magic. It sounds ridiculous, but it is magic. When you jump Nam, this is the miracle of Nam. These qualities that are in God begin to come into you, because that which you worship, you become like that. If you're worshiping all love, if you're worshiping all kindness, all mercy, then that quality will come into you. If you're worshiping something else, if you're worshiping money, then greed, all those qualities that are enshrined in that concept are going to come into you. So that's where the qualities come from. There's no, you know, physical thing that you can do besides love that are going to make these qualities come. I hope that answers your question.
বলি না নাও কমেন্ট কে দে
We're not going to discuss that yet. Because right now it's a controversial patent issue. The principle of patent to decide upon. Everyone here has a view, and really you can talk to them on an individual basis if you want to, and you can research in your own time. But it's not something that's going to be the be all and end all of this issue. Okay? So that's a very sort of small issue, well, big issue, but in terms of the whole picture of where you kind of get in a spiritual life, you know, it's not going to be, you know, pivotal.
Please don't anyone sort of start discussing after this, because otherwise the Sikhs, everyone's going to kill me, or the Sikhs will kill me as well. But when I came to Sikhi, I had this issue. I used to always ask about the very small questions, and ignore the big questions, maybe because by finding answers to the big questions, I could probably stop myself from doing the big things. And I'd pick up all the little questions, but not the big questions. Should I do Bhaj? Should I do this or that? One thing that switched me about Rav Maharaj, I'm not talking about each side of the argument, by the way, because that's something completely different. It also helped me look at the bigger answers was, Singh, I won't name him, but he told me an example. Everyone here knows who Bhajivan Singh is, huh? Basically, at one point, he used to have a certain opinion about Rav Maharaj. And what he used to do was, in his advice, he used to say, Guru Sahib, those people who read or don't read it, please do good by all of them, huh? If we had that attitude, we'd probably never get into the discussions about Rav Maharaj. Because really, if we really feel that we've got such a loving intention towards Guru Sahib, I personally feel Guru Sahib would answer all questions. Why would you come
to us?
Move on to new people.
the transition from?
I guess that's a personal choice of the Amritadi person. I can't really answer for every Amritadi person there is. I guess that would be a personal choice of the Amritadi person, whether they want to or not. Yeah. Of blood transfusion?
Does Vani say anything about blood
transfusion?
No. The Vani doesn't talk about sort of every single little thing. Okay, so the, you know, the grant would be sort of, you know, humongous.
Actually, that's the difference between Sikhi and other religions. I mean, when I've talked to some Muslims that were debating, you know, why Sikhi is wrong, they said, well, what does Sikhi say about the adulteress that has cheated on her husband, or that wife, that midwife who has killed the child she's looking after? There's no rules. And I said, you know, that's where Sikhi is different, because Sikhs ask for Babay Budi. Babay Budi means the knowledge, the wisdom to discern. We don't need, you know, every single possible scenario outlined, you know, right or wrong. A Sikh, as he's moving along, or she's moving along with Gurmukh, should be able to, you know, have the vehicle, the knowledge to make that choice for themselves.
Right, just like to ask that, I'm in Sikh at the moment, and I'm not actually taking Amrit yet, and so I'd like to know, how can I take one more step further, because I've not really got much standard around me, and so I go to the Gurdwara every Sunday, and I've got the Kami saying to me, Eh Kardio, and I just say, other people say, read these books, and so I'm not saying, oh, I don't want to read these 500 pages books, and like, it's going to take me forever, so what can I actually do to actually take one step further without reading these 500 pages of books? What am I meant to do now?
First thing, you have to get a knowledge without reading.
Well, like I said before, the quickest way to learn about Sikhi is to going to Sangat, going to the Gursikhs who are already following, and they're already far ahead on the path. And so instead of you reading the books, they've already read the books and they can tell you all about it. Sort of like cheat notes.
So I guess you're probably going to say, well, if you don't have to read in your local area, right? I have
to read mine. Well,
sorry. The next step you can take is promise to come back next class again.
Also, there's a lot of websites on, well, the web, but you can also check out, like, you can also post questions or whatever and do your research on there as well. They're quicker than books.
So that's actually the sad answer. I mean, either you can do something with other websites, or you've got books. Because books are a type of something. When you read a book, you're doing something with the person that wrote that book. It's a really, really important way of doing something with amazing people. I mean, books have changed my life, and if you think it's too hard, then the only other option is to find other good sex that have lived that path.
Also, I'd just like to ask that the stuff for websites and books and stuff, they're very controversial, they've got their own views as well. What can I actually believe in that is actually true?
The best thing you can do is do a Das in front of Guru Granth Sahib. Guru Granth Sahib. as whosoever guide you. Whatever we have in faith for Sikhi, Sikhi comes with grace. That's why the last verse of Mool Mantra, Guru Prasad. Guru Prasad, the Kirpa from the true Guru, Guru Granth Sahib. Ask Guru Granth Sahib for Kirpa, you'll get the next step and the step to take over.
Well, the first thing to realize is an individual doesn't keep it at themselves. It's all Guruji's kirpa. It's how much kirpa a person has, the more that they will keep. And another thing to remember is how else are we going to show our dedication and our love to Sikhi? So I guess that keeps us motivated. But even that, sometimes you get lazy. And again, I have to go back to my previous comment. That's only if somehow you can keep contact with other good Sikhs who also, they're pakke in that, and they'll keep you online. They'll keep you with the that all the time.
There's always transport going from sort of north, south, Midlands to the events like Ethan. You can sit there all night, listen to Ethan, doing some good. And just by doing humans, you don't talk to other people, you just listen to the Ethan and just merge into the Ethan. You'll have a huge difference to you. Every month you go, you put yourself back up with all this Ethan. And it kind of lasts a month, and then the next Ethan comes along. And I really just want to do it.
Do you keep that? You only have to do effort in the first few months or first few days. After that, Sikhi has become an addiction. You can't go without reading, doing your Panch Bani in the morning. You just can't do it. It's impossible. Just as you can't skip your breakfast. You do skip your breakfast, you will feel it. And if you happen to miss your name, you'll feel it. So if academics become better, like Guru Sikhs who keep that, then Guru Sikhs who do bark. I don't think they do that as an effort. It's just a pleasure to do it. Not an effort.
And by the same token, I'll say that if you break your neck, if you break your neck over and over, I won't get up on the ground today, and I'm not, give up today. If you do over and over, then that also becomes a habit. The first day you'll notice you feel, uncomfortable. Second day you feel a little less. Eventually, you'll just lose on the ground. Or you lose your nitnik. So just like every day you do your that, and it becomes just a part of you, and such a fundamental part that you'll miss something if you skip it. The same way if you cut a part of the net, eventually that'll just fall out of your life as well, and you won't care anymore.
He kept the mic the first time, so I'll start talking now. Firstly, keeping breath is also again raised by Guru Sahib. Even single little tiny breath, a boss rookie breath can be a very, very simple thing. I'll give an example from Paisa Bhakti Singh's life. Once he was in the jail and he had his case in hand and he couldn't get oil. And he didn't have food for almost 5 days because someone told him that I tried to commit suicide by not taking food. He said, no, I couldn't get the oil to oil my hair. The good oil. Changa tel nahi milya, main ganga nahi kar sakya, ganga nahi kar sakya to main prasad nahi chakya.
Choti Raj, which we think is very, very small Raj for me. Just keep it. But for love of Guru, this Choti to Choti Raj Vijayana, it matters for the Guru. He tries to follow all the Raj. Because once you start, okay, going me, I am the name here, Tulsi here, Kalpajan, for Kalka the Onani. Kal Kalanta Aleka. Guru Sahib said, what are you thinking of doing tomorrow? Kal Kalanta Aleka. अब करता स्वीकार पाछे कुछ ना होएगा जो सिर पर आवेगा by means of tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow day after you won't be going to the path what you are thinking of doing the right thing do it at the moment Guru Sahib says na bilambata nam bilam papam to do a right thing righteous thing is na bilambata nam don't delay bilam is delay don't delay doing a good thing If you're delaying it, you're being a sin. Whatever you think is proper, religious, I think, tarmat de joi chija, ose vilito. At that moment, you're delaying, you're doing a sin, but not doing it, then you'll kind of forget. Once you're doing it, start skipping it, then you'll go, start declining from it. You won't have the fear then. Phir dharani lenda, asha nesanani kana chol chi kya, to kal kar langa. So if you discipline yourself for jira, like army, listen, sara kuch discipline hai. So jina jina aap karange, discipline rahenge, unhe pakke rahe discipline for us. And discipline hai, to achieve. Theek sab to sab baat nahi the nahi bol. Sab to wade inspiration hai, gun wadiya milya. Govinda se podiye kar to bahut wadiya laga. Very nice.
One other comment about Amrita. I mean, Amrita is probably one of the hardest acts that you can make a routine for yourself at the start anyway. There was a Gosik called Colonel Pyara Singh, and he used to say in other Gosik that Guru Gobind Singh has a roll call of all the Khalsa, of all Amrita at Amrita. And in the roll call, if you miss a day, you know, so you miss a day. But eventually, if you keep missing that roll call, you're not present. And eventually Guru Gobind Singh just strikes your name. Not expected. And a lot of Gosikhs amongst us maybe have felt that Amrita, you get up. Whether you choose to get up and do a shan or you go back to sleep is a different story. But a lot of Gosikhs I've spoken to will tell me that, you know, they get up and something wakes them up, but what they choose to do after that is their own choice. But if you persistently choose not to get up, eventually you stop getting up like that. Guru Sahib just doesn't expect you anymore. And that's really not where a Sikh should be.